The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Commentary from the Edge. I'm your host, Elbert Lewis. Today my rant is entitled, Surplus People. Now, this is not the typical rant or discussion about how many people are on planet Earth. As the environmental alarmists might say, there are too many people on the planet and we're overstressing Mother Earth. No, I'm talking about here in the good old United States of America. And for a fact, we have too many people. We have a surplus of people. Now, this didn't start last week or last year. It probably started, I don't know, back in the early 20th century. But it has been made worse by government policy. And I believe the genesis of the government policies or series of policies that have made the situation worse in 1931 with the Davis-Bacon Act. In case you're not familiar with this, in 1927, there was a contractor in New York, and to pad his profit, he decided to bring skilled African-American workers from down south to help construct this veterans hospital. When the local white workers got wind of this, they went to their politicians and their union bosses, and they exerted political pressure. And the result was the Davis-Bacon Act of 1931, which mandated that any contractors working on government projects pay the prevailing wage to all of their workers. Well, if contractors back in the 30s, if they're going to have to pay prevailing wage, they weren't going to pay it to black laborers, no matter how skilled they were. So the result was that on most construction projects, especially the ones on government projects, they were basically all white, because those contractors, they were not going to pay top dollar for black labor, even if it was skilled black labor. Now, this policy, either officially or unofficially, was promulgated down to the state, county, and even city levels all across this nation. And that resulted in a surplus of men, especially unemployed black men, in the black communities across this country. And that has led to all sorts of social ills that have plagued the black community that white people like to point to and say, see how they are, see what kind of people they are. But a strange thing happened over the decades. And now this surplus people problem is not just a black problem anymore. Not only was it the Davis-Bacon Act and just good old homegrown racism and discrimination plaguing the black community, but also illegal immigration. You know, people start hiring Hispanics and other illegal immigrants. The Vietnam boat lift after we lost the war in Vietnam, the Great Escape from Cuba, the Mariel boat lift, when a lot of illegal immigrants from the Caribbean, Cuba and other islands came to America. And that further exacerbated the surplus population in the black community. And this is a thing, and I don't understand why the white power structure doesn't understand this. And it's historically accurate. Just about every social ill, every social problem, every social condition that they attribute to black culture eventually spreads to the white community. And that's because those social ills, those social problems that they point to in the black community are largely a result of government or social policy on the part of the majority race. I saw a 60-minute segment a couple of months ago. It was about a group of doctors, dentists, and other medical services providers. They got together this consortium, and they went down into Appalachia, America, to provide medical and dental services to people who don't have, access to those services. Now, this is not in Africa somewhere where you have these movie stars and other famous people going over there and stroking their egos and playing the great white Bwana to those African natives and by tossing them a few dollars so they could have, clean water for a month. No, this was happening in the United States of America. They show mostly white people. In fact, they were all white people. I didn't see a single black face the whole episode or the whole segment. And these were white people that were walking for days, sleeping in their cars, lining up by the hundreds and thousands to get free medical care, to see a dentist, to get glasses. It was like what happens in African countries where the aid workers go and provide services that those people don't have access to. And yet this was happening within the United States of America. And it was basically poor white people, poor surplus white people. Not only that, but if you've been paying attention to the news lately, you know that there is a serious heroin problem out in the suburbs and rural America. There's been an explosion in the use of heroin by basically white people, surplus white people who are zoning out, trying to escape the misery of their lives. We are currently, or the government is currently, locked in a debate about minimum wage. I saw some numbers the other day. I believe it was the Congressional Budget Office. They came out with figures that stated that raising the minimum wage from $7 and change to $10 and change would help about 900,000 workers and lift them out of poverty. But on the other hand, it would result in the loss of jobs for 500,000 and make them surplus people. Does that make sense to anybody out there? You're going to increase the salary of just short of 1 million and then throw 500,000 others out of work. Only the government, only a liberal-led government could see that as a plus. And it's not just this minimum wage thing. Industries, corporations have been engaged in practices for decades that produce surplus workers who are basically surplus people. And the latest is companies want to raise chickens in this country, kill them, slaughter them, and then send their bodies, their carcasses, to China, where they will be cut up, processed, packaged, and sent back to America to be sold to American consumers. Huh? Who in the hell thought of this and believed that it's good for American workers? Well, evidently it's a cost-saving measure, and it's going to pad their profit margin. And the American worker be damned. Who thought that this is a good thing for America, for the American people, with all the contaminated goods coming out of China, all the shortcuts, all the lack of hygiene that's prevalent there, all the bird flus and the influenza that start in China? What idiot thought this is a good idea? Now, it's not the idiot that thought of it, because they're doing it for money. It's the idiot in the government that approved this move. That's the idiot. And the other idiots are the ones like, hey, yours truly, and anyone in the sound of my voice, and anyone that doesn't hear this, that let the government get away with this. We're the idiots. And it's not just chickens. We import tens of billions of dollars worth of goods from China and other countries that use cheap or slave labor at the expense of our own low-income wage earners. Automation is another way that corporations are eliminating jobs and creating surplus people. And to make it worse, those same people or people that think like them are the very ones who are against abortion, which keeps the population down, keep the number, the percentage of surplus people low. They're even against contraception, against condoms, against sex education in schools. On the one hand, their policies, their financial policies, create or eliminate jobs and create surplus people. And on the other hand, their political and religious beliefs would increase the number of people in this country, which there are no jobs for. And if you think that this is not a problem, that all we have to do is convince these surplus peoples to stay in school, don't have babies you can't afford, stay off drugs, stay out of prison, and all will be fine, and you can pursue the American dream. Well, that used to be the case, but it's not anymore. For a fact, a lot of those jobs that were lost in the last recession, those jobs are not coming back because the corporations have found that they can modernize, streamline, pay their current workers for a lot of overtime, and make money hand over fist. Last I heard, they had $2 or $3 trillion in the bank they didn't know what to do with. So where's the incentive to hire more people? I just read a statistic the other day that 43% of Americans, and these are probably mostly white Americans, who graduate college with social science degrees, art history degrees, who knows, women's studies, art history, whatever. 43% of these people are working in jobs that don't require a college degree. Those are the baristas at Starbucks. Those are the first line managers at McDonald's. And not that you can't move up in these jobs and maybe obtain positions of supervision and management and maybe even go on to be a CEO one day, but there are limited numbers of those positions. And 43% can't find college level, or I should say jobs that require college level educations. And it's going to get worse as more and more of our low-level jobs and even some mid-level jobs are sent overseas. You can't call customer support for one of these large corporations and talk to an American. Most of the time you're talking to somebody in India or some other country where they'll work for 30% of what the average American would demand to provide those same services. And so we see a situation developing where, on the one hand, we have a group of people who have influence with the government, influence in our politics, influence in the way we live our lives, doing everything they can to continue a high birth rate. And on the other hand, those same people are people in their socioeconomic level are doing everything they can in the name of profits to eliminate jobs for these people. And that's why I say that there is definitely surplus people in this country. And it's going to get worse. The social implications are pretty serious. Now, the reason I say that the social and the political implications are pretty serious and dire is because we are in the process of creating a permanent underclass in this country, a class of peons, serfs, whatever you want to call them, because basically they will only have the lowest paying jobs. They will never achieve their slice of the American dream. Now, it's largely through their own faults that they are in this predicament, but the fact of the matter is they're here, and some of the same people who fight like hell to prevent contraception, to prevent abortion for unwanted children, are the same ones who believe that just because they are born, that they have a right to a certain level of living in this country. And those people are willing to exert their influence with the government and have the government in their behalf take money from productive people, people who have worked all their lives and retired and enjoying the fruits of their retirement, like me. They will force the government or persuade the government officials to take from us and give to these surplus people so they can have a life or a standard of living that these people think they deserve just because they breathe American air. And you think I'm joking? You ever heard of earned income credit? This is a government program. I mean, it's not like welfare where they send non-productive people money and food and medical services. Now, earned income credit is for people who didn't do what they were supposed to do in school, didn't get a decent education, didn't go to college per se. They might have gone to college and one of those 43% is working in low-paying jobs. Having babies they can't afford, whatever reason, they're stuck in low-paying jobs. And the government decided that if you're working, then you deserve a certain lifestyle. And so they have this program called Earned Income Credit, where if you make a certain dollar value and you have four or five kids that you should not have had because the religious nutcases denied you sex education in school, don't want you to have access to condoms or abortion. And so you have mouths to feed and you can't afford it. Well, they have this Earned Income Credit where they will take tax dollars from me, from you, those of you who are listening, who make a decent living, they would take your tax dollars, our tax dollars, and give to these people with low incomes. They call it earned income credits because not only did they earn their low income, but according to the government, because they put forth the effort of working, they earn some of our income. Some, you get what I'm saying? The government thinks that they earn part of my income and your income just because they go out there and work. But they are surplus people. They don't pay their own way. Now, admittedly, they get out there and work as opposed to the welfare cases and any other people that are just this out-and-out leeches. But what right do they have to part of my income just because they breathe American air? How is that right? How is that fair? When you look at it from a religious point of view, how is that even in line with the Christian faith? No, I'm not a biblical scholar or anything. I'm not even that religious. I have my doubts about the existence of a God. But I think the mythical Jesus said that if you give to the poor, then it will be returned to you tenfold by your God. He didn't say pressure the government to take what someone else has and give to the poor. They said give of yourself. Give what you have, some of what you have, not what everybody else has. And so the government programs are just a perversion of Christianity, a total perversion. And there are a lot of people who thump their chests and think they're doing their God's work when actually they have perverted the Christian ethic. They have used the government to steal from you and me. Now, that's sort of off on a tangent, but I can't help it. It's one of my pet peeves. Let's get back to this, to the meat of the surplus people. One of the reasons why a surplus population is so dangerous is that in this country, they have access to free medical care, even if it's just emergency room. They still get referred to clinics almost in every county in this country. If you're poor, don't work, whatever, you have welfare, Section 8, Medicaid, food stamps, any number of services. And basically what that does is maintain them in a state where the biological functions are taken care of, including procreation. And guess what? We pay to keep them healthy. And guess who procreates more? The people in that social class or the people in the working class, the middle class, upper middle class, and the two percenters? You guessed it. I guess a lot of times the only thing they have to do is procreate and watch TV. And so with each generation, the percentage of surplus people gets larger and larger. And if that happens, then the burden on the taxpayer gets larger and larger. And eventually, because politically that's not too cool, we've resorted to deficit spending to continue to maintain these surplus people. And eventually the bubble is going to bust. Something is going to happen where the government will not be able to borrow money to continue supporting the surplus people, or they will assign themselves dictatorial powers and they will start taking larger and larger percentages of money, of income from productive people to maintain the surplus population. And how long would that last before the working people, the productive people, rebel? Because let's face it, not only do we maintain the biological functioning of this surplus population, not only do we allow illegals to cross our borders and inflate the numbers of surplus people, but we want to give them citizenship and allow them to vote. The native-born surplus population, they vote. And there is no shortage of politicians who will use this to their advantage. And what's going to happen when the surplus population, the voting population who are voting their selfish self-interest get to the point where they have the political balance of power. You would basically have a situation where they control our national politics because they will control the vote and they will vote in the politicians who do their bidding. And their bidding is more freebies, uncontrolled spending, to the point where it will decimate our economy. The handwriting is on the wall. The numbers don't lie. Why our more liberal politicians can't see this is beyond me. I guess they're just so wrapped up in their own selfish self-interest, greed, their own ideologies, that they can't see what this is doing to the country, where it's leading us. But I fervently believe that if this continues, and if we continue the policies that increase the percentage of surplus people in this country, it will mean a fundamental change of American society. It will be an end of America as we know it, because when you allow a situation to perpetuate itself where surplus people also have the power of the ballot box, there is only one direction it can go. And believe me, folks, it's not a pretty picture. Until next time, I'm your host, Elbert Lewis, from The Edge.